Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
This is Hot Start on EAA Radio.
Yep, kind of warmed over this morning. We're still having trouble getting all the burners lit.
And we have Mr. Nick Boer from NASA.
That's right.
Say that again.
NASA.
As kids, NASA was like the epitome of everything, you know?
Right. You know, failure is not an option.
There you go.
Yes, you too can be a rocket scientist.
Anyway.
However, we're not dealing with rockets. We're dealing with aerodynamics today.
They actually do airplanes, too.
That's right. They do. And they've got this really cool airplane that they're working on. I saw it over
there. Is it made out of paper?
No. The one that I saw is probably wood. It's real pretty. It's got a lot of propellers and wheels.
Wheels and things. And it looks like a big Tylenol.
Tylenol, yeah. And, you know, this is the NASA X-57 project. They're talking about electric flight. And what was the boosted lift theory?
Yeah, augmented lift. They're looking for a 500% increase in efficiency.
Yeah.
That's a very, very ambitious number.
Absolutely. It's basically we're trying to take advantage of the benefits of electric propulsion and minimize some of the downsides. So you have to really fundamentally change how the airplane looks. If you think about when we switched from piston propellers to jets, you know, to really embrace the performance that you could get out of the jet engine and minimize some of its disadvantages, you had to rethink how you shaped these airplanes.
Now, your job is, you were saying, an aircraft designer.
That's right.
So you start out with, what, a piece of paper, you fold it into a little thing and throw it across the room, or what?
Pretty much, no. We start off a lot, you know, with a need. In our case, we're trying to demonstrate a new technology, so this isn't supposed to be an airplane that people are all going to go jump in tomorrow. We try to, you know, focus on the goal, show distributed electric propulsion, and show how it works. We use a number of different tools. We actually, to design this wing, I think I looked at over 3 million different combinations of design variables. Needless to say, that used a computer.
I was going to say,
no napkin to do the drawings this time.
There's no TLAR engineering in this.
No. You know, that's one of the questions that I have. Why did you choose an existing aircraft? Why didn't you start from the ground up with a clean sheet?
It's really, with X-planes, you're looking for the knee on the curve of kind of affordability versus what you can show. There's a lot of stuff that we don't need to show with distributed electric propulsion. I don't need to show you how to design a fuselage or landing gear or anything else. We picked an airplane that basically would be the cheapest for us to retrofit. We needed a twin with a high wing that we could just take the wing off and put our new distributed electric propulsion wing on. So it's not the perfect match for this technology, but it was really an affordable way to showcase this.
Well, I also think they're looking for a baseline to compare to.
Yeah, that's a good start, too.
So the piston version is the baseline.
That's correct. We flew the original P2006T, took some fuel flow measurements, and yeah, that's the basis for the 5X improvement.
Okay, then they put it back in the garage. Okay, we're done. Now let's go build the electric one.
Right, so this aircraft basically is a proof of concept, and people will take the information that you guys have gleaned from this project, and they will build aircraft according to the data that you've come up with.
That's right. I think the real value of X-planes, this is in the paper they produce, they look pretty hanging in the Smithsonian, but the real value that we do is, I sit on some of the consensus standards committees, the new FAA Part 23 for certification of new aircraft.
Okay.
You need a certification path for electric aircraft. So we're providing a lot of the data, all of our test procedures, everything that goes right, and especially everything that goes wrong, because that's what really matters in certification to the FAA and to the other consensus standards.
Yeah, power plant failures in electrics aren't necessarily common, but they're going to be really spectacular.
Yeah, for sure.
How did you guys arrive at this target goal improvement? I mean, you didn't just pull a number out of the sky, I'm sure.
I was going to say, it was just a dartboard, really.
A little whiz wheel they spin, you know?
Honestly, we were looking for electric already compared to a piston engine. In terms of energy going in from that's on board the airplane to power, it's about 3 times as efficient. So you get a lot of efficiency there, but you can start doing things with electric motors that you would never do with combustion motors. They scale much better, smaller at the same power to weight ratio, same efficiency. So you can start doing purpose-built things with them, like use 12 of our 14 motors for to enhance the lift, and you put 2 out at the wingtips to fight the wingtip vortex to reduce the drag of the aircraft that way.
Hmm. What other modifications are you doing to reduce the drag on the airplane itself?
the biggest contribution besides that 3X switchover to electric from gas is in bringing the wing size much, much smaller. Most GA airplanes, the wings are sized by takeoff and landing, low stall speeds. So their wings are basically, you're dragging along a whole lot of extra wing in cruise that really reduces your aerodynamic efficiency at higher speeds. So we have a much smaller, much more highly loaded wing. It's like a regional jet type wing loading. And the problem is normally you get really high stall speeds and long takeoff and landings. So we basically cheat. We make the wing think it's going a lot slower or a lot faster than it is by blowing air over it at low speeds, and then we fold them back and we don't need them.
Every time you say that, you cheat by increasing the airspeed over the wing with the motors. I always, the picture that pops into my head is the cartoon guy with the sailboat, with the sail and the fan in the back of the blowing on the sail. It's kind of like that in some aspects, isn't it?
A little bit, and a nice thing about aerodynamic forces, or a not nice thing about it, is it goes with the square of the airspeed. So just a little bit more speed gives you a whole lot more lift. It also gives you a whole lot more drag. So.
But and, of course, then you're going to use up a whole lot more runway, too.
That's right.
And that limits your usefulness of the aircraft when it comes to smaller airports.
Why don't you guys invent one with just telescoping wings for landing? The wings go whoop, and then they go whoop, for cruise.
I think there's been some folding wing concepts for different cruise pieces. I'll take a look at that. You might want to patent it first, though.
Yeah, they're right. Too late. So. You guys already did, I'm sure. I'm sure somebody did.
Yeah, I was going to say the folding wing concept or the expanding wing concept is an interesting thing, but that poses a lot of structural issues, and that's the one thing that you want to stay away from. You got to have 100% structure there. What kind of structure are you going to use inside the new composite wing?
It's a fairly traditional. There's a couple of ribs and spars, it's really interesting, and we try to shrink this wing so much, it's only about a 2.25-foot cord length, so from the leading edge to the trailing edge.
Wow.
It's only about 4.5 inches maximum thickness. It's really hard, even though we don't need fuel in the wings, it's really hard to cram even just the electrical wires and flap systems and everything else.
What you need, though, is a lot of good stability, not only in your spar for lift, but for the thrust of the motor, pulling the wingtips forward and such.
Yep. That's actually one of the reasons also to go with the twin, is that wing structure was or at least the carry-through structure where the wing attaches to the fuselage was already designed to carry thrust loads and some of the heavier wing bending loads with shock from taxi bumps and things like that. Lots of little things that go into the design of the wing you don't think of on a normal basis.
Yeah.
I was going to say, taxiing and bumping along, I never would have thought of that one. I'd be worried more about turbulence and gust loading and that kind of stuff. But yeah, some of these airports, they are pretty rough.
Well, in Philly, they have potholes, right?
Right. Big ones.
One of the really interesting constraints with putting all those big propellers out at the wingtips was actually how to land in a crosswind. That ended up being, because you generally, when you land in a crosswind, you land with one wing low.
Oh.
I got a 5-foot diameter propeller out there.
Right.
You don't really want to chew up any taxiway lights or anything else.
Or have to answer questions as to why you tore it up.
Well, you've got a 5-foot 3-blader on there right now. What's the possibility of, say, knocking a foot off of the diameter and going with another prop blade or two to make up for it?
That would be a one way to do it. Honestly, if we were doing clean sheet, we talked about how we're doing this as a demonstrator, so we're reusing parts.
Oh yeah.
You might consider just putting smaller ones out at the wingtip, not put all of your thrust out there, and then put one in the front of the nose, or even do the power to weight of electric motors. You could put one on top of the tail. You see the E-Genius and a few other of these electric aircraft with that configuration.
Yeah, well, the first kickoff meeting, they said, we're going to do this, that, and oh, by the way, we've only got like $300. So that's...
Well, that is one of the neat things about the electric motors, is that you can actually have selectable thrust, how many motors you run and how hard you run them. That gives you guys a lot of flexibility.
It does, and it the other thing you start to see is you can really start using them for purpose-built applications. So you'd never normally carry 12 motors around just and only use them for takeoff and landing. But I say look out at the wing of a 757. You see those flap tracks hanging out there just generating drag for 99.9% of the mission. They're just there to make that wing smaller and cruise. So the power to weight of these electric motors means that we can start using them for purpose-built applications, for lift, for 12 out of 14 of them, especially since our wings and GA are so small already that getting those really, really complex flap systems can be a challenge.
Right. Now, you guys are new to electric flight, I imagine. I don't think you've been messing around with it for that long. So I doubt you have very few electric motor experts on staff.
Yeah, actually, our principal investigator, I think, is a perfect fit for this. Sean Clark, he came from the electric power, like hydrodynamics, like dams sorts of power. So when we talk in aviation, we say, oh, my God, that's over 1,000 watts or something. That seems like much. You know, to him, that's round-off error.
Yeah, right. That's loss.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing. Have you ever thought of adapting this technology for, say, micro turbojets instead of using electric motors, micro turbos, like they use in the radio
control?
For
the thrust or for the lift augmentation?
For the lift augmentation.
Well, go ahead.
No, there's actually been some look at that. You know, there's been blown flap type designs. One of the big challenges with those comes with the noise. So with electric motors, they have a lot of torque at the low end. So you can spin the propellers very, very slowly.
Noise
goes with tip speed to the fifth power. So it has a big effect quickly.
So mm-hmm. you can put a big pitch and turn it slow.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Sounds
I
like
would
fun.
Think the other problem with the blown thrust, as he called it, is like setting the wing on fire. Composites probably won't take hot exhaust well.
That might be a problem. Anyway, we've been talking to Nick Bohrer here. He's an engineering, he does engineering on the NASA X-57. You guys are over in the NASA Pavilion. I was just there yesterday looking at that airplane thinking, cool. You ought to go over and check it out.
Check it out. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.